Today I'm reading a verse, but the class is, today is the appearance day of Garadhar Pandit. And, there's a nice verse here that I wanted to start the class with. Advaita Charya Nityananda Srinivas Gadadhara Damodara Murari Haridas Arayat Yata Chaitanya Krishnera Paktagana Bhakti Bhave Shire Dhari Sabara Charana. Translation: Advaita Charya Nityananda Srinivas Pandit Gadadhara Swarup Damodar, Murari Gupta, Haridas, and all the other devotees of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, bowing down with devotion, I hold their lotus feet on my head. Purport. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita teaches us that we must offer our respectful obeisances to all such pure confidential devotees of Lord Chaitanya if we indeed want to know him in truth. So, breaking with some conventions, let us offer our obeisances to these devotees, please. So, today is the appearance of Garadhar Pandit. Now, who knows the difference between Garadhar Pandit and Garadhar Das? There's two Garadhars. Okay, first, this is going to be interactive. So I'll have to repeat. Vishwam Barbara, who has said that Garadhar Pandit is a member of the Panchatattva. Yes, that's correct. And Garadhar Das? Yes, sometimes he's described as the luster. Sometimes he's described as the luster. Sometimes he's described as the potency of Srimati Radharani. So, okay, then the next question is, who exactly is Garadhar Pandit? In Chaitanya Leela, who is Garadhar Pandit? Okay, I guess just
Srimati Radharani.
That's correct, but there's more. Somebody in the back here, we have to do this rapid passing of the wand here.
I think she's. I heard that she was.
he was she? go ahead.
It's something called duty aspect of Radharani, like a servantship or...
Now, who are we talking about now?
Garadhar Pandit from the...
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, this is an interesting thing in the spiritual world. People have multiple identities, where, of course, in this world, that's not a good sign. when they say someone has multiple personalities in this realm... That's usually a big problem. But in the spiritual world, they seem to blend quite easily. And even when they come to this earth, or apparently come to this earth anyway, they sometimes, you know, are multiple persons all at once. So it's kind of interesting to know who all these personalities are. Well, we've just said that Garadhar Das is considered to be the halo or the... or the luster of Srimati Radharani. But Garadhar Pandit, as a member of the Panchatattva, he's got multiple personalities. And I'm just going to read a little something about this from the... This is from the Gaura Gonadesh Deepika by Kavi Kanapur. Here's what he writes. Srimati Radharani, who is the personification of pure love for Lord Krishna, and who is the queen of Vrindavan, appeared as Sri Garadhar Pandit, who was very dear to Lord Chaitanya. Srila Swarup Damodar has also confirmed that the goddess of fortune who appeared in Vrindavan and was very dear to Lord Krishna has now appeared as Sri Gadadhar Pandit. So not just Radharani, but also the goddess of fortune, who is filled with love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lalita Gopi always follows Srimati Radharani, and therefore she is known as Anuradha, Radha's follower. When Srimati Radharani appeared as Gadadhar Pandit, Lalita followed her. So Lalita is there also. It's just like with Haridas Thakur, there's multiple personalities involved there too. Lord Brahma, and then there's another another Haridas. And, you know, there's various personalities all at once. Prahlad Maharaj. So here, Lalita Gopi always follows her. It says, followed her entering the body of Gadadhar Pandit. So, therefore, Gadadhar Pandit is the incarnation of both Srimati Radharani and Lalita Gopi. This is described in the following statement. So then there's more. There's more. Gadadhar, the best of the brahmanas, is the incarnation of both Srimati Radharani and Lalita Gopi. These two are the transcendental potencies of the Lord. And since the Lord is in one sense not different from his potencies, it may be said that he is present wherever his potencies go. Excuse me. For this reason, it may be said that Lord Hari is also present in the body of Gadadhar Pandit. So he's got it all. Gadadhar Pandit. He's got it all. Gadadhar is therefore the incarnation of three persons, Srimati Radharani, Lalita Gopi, and Lord Hari. So I just thought, you know, I'd start off with a little identity crisis commentary. But it wasn't a crisis, actually. It was a great benediction for all who... They were very... As it's sort of needless to say, in one sense, that they're very, that Gadadhar Pandit is very intimately connected with Lord Chaitanya, very, very deep sentiments and feelings, which are probably impossible for us to fully comprehend. But I'm still going to talk about it because I'm shameless, I guess. But I wanted to mention a few things. Prabhupada writes in the, or translates this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 10th chapter. The devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit are to be considered incarnations of the internal potency of the Lord. They are confidential devotees engaged in the service of the Lord. In connection with verses 16 and 17, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in his Anubhasya, quote, there are specific symptoms by which the internal devotees and the unalloyed or pure devotees are to be known. All unalloyed devotees are shakti tattvas or potencies of the Lord. Some of them are situated in conjugal love and others in filial affection, fraternity, and servitude. Excuse me. Certainly all of them are devotees, but by making a comparative study, it is found that the devotees or potencies who are engaged in conjugal love are better situated than the others. Thus, devotees who are in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in conjugal love are considered to be the most confidential devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who engage in the service of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Advaita Prabhu generally have relationships of parental love, fraternity, servitude, and neutrality. When such devotees develop great attachment for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they too become situated within the intimate circle of devotees in conjugal love. The gradual development of devotional service is described by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Well, there's a song that you're all familiar with. I'm not going to chant it or give you the translation now, but it's the Goranga Bolite Habe Pulaka Sharir. About how it's not possible to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna unless all these desires for material enjoyment go away. So, and Arantam is lamenting, when will that happen? When will that happen? So, he continues, There's a nice verse in the seventh chapter. And it, Prabhupada translates it as, by attachment to the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one immediately becomes to the ecstatic position. Interesting sentence, isn't it? By attachment to the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one immediately comes to the ecstatic position. So I think we're waiting for that. Or maybe some of you are there. Let us know. When he develops his love for Nityananda Prabhu, he is freed from all attachment to the material world. And at that time, he becomes eligible to understand the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan. In that condition, when one develops his love for the six Goswamis, he can understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. These are the different stages of a pure devotee's promotion to conjugal love in the service of Radha and Krishna and an intimate relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now I'm going to read a few things about Gadadhar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Pundarik Vidyanidhi father, and he gave him the title Premnidhi Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So who is Pundarik Vidyanidhi? Now this is Gadadhar's spiritual master. Yes, Vrishabhanu. In Krishna's pastimes, he was the father of Srimati Radharani, Vrishabhanu Maharaj. So later, he became the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit and an intimate friend of Swarup Damodar. Gadadhar Pandit at first misunderstood Pundarik Vidyanidhi, because that's a big story, and I'm not going to tell that whole story. But initially, Pundarik Vidyanidhi appeared to be a worldly man, very worldly and attached to sense gratification. And Gadadhar Pandit misunderstood him initially. But later, being corrected by Lord Chaitanya, he became his disciple. He was a very exalted person, King Vrishabhanu. Then this verse comes from the, again from Adi Lila. Gadadhar Pandit, the fourth branch, is described as an incarnation of the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. No one, therefore, can equal him. So, you know, in the calendar, I just noticed when I was getting ready to do this class, you know, it just sort of gets a slight mention, oh, Gadadhar Pandit's appearance day, like, no big deal. But actually, it's the same as the appearance of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Gopi and the Lord himself. So, actually, it is a big deal. So, we should at least recognize, it says no one can equal him. No one can equal him in terms of devotion, in terms of attachment to Lord Chaitanya. They have a very exalted relationship. And Prabhupada also cites here the Gauraganadish Deepika, explaining the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, formerly known as Vrindavaneshwari, is now personified in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, as Swarup Damodar, Prabhupada writes, pointed out that in the shape of Lakshmi, because we mentioned it earlier from the Gauraganadish Deepika, she was formerly very dear to the Lord as Shama Sundara Vallabha, that pleasure, the goddess of fortune, or Lakshmi, had this name, Shama Sundara Vallabha. Formerly as Lalita Sakhi, she was always devoted to Srimati Radharani. Thus, Gadadhar Pandit is simultaneously an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Sakhi. In the 12th chapter of this part of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description of the descendants of... he had many disciples, Gadadhar Pandit. He was also a great scholar, very renowned, actually, in his scholarship. A very, very learned person. So he was is described here as the 23rd branch of the Chaitanya tree. And it said he was understood to be the topmost. No, I'm sorry, I've got that wrong. This is Gadadhar Das now. Gadadhar Das, the effulgence or the, oh, what were they, the luster, the effulgence, or the halo. Well, these are different ways he's been described. of Srimati Radharani. And he is considered very great because he induced the Muslim Qazis to chant the holy name of Lord Hari. So, yeah, here it describes Gadadhar Das in this particular part of the 10th chapter of Adi Leela. It says that he is stated to be the luster of the body of Srimati Radharani. So effulgence or luster. It's kind of strange that your identity is luster. You think about it, that's quite unusual. Like, for instance, if we would see Govinda or any of the great devotees here and we saw some luster coming from him, that could be another personality. But in the spiritual world, of course, it doesn't work like that in this world, as far as I know. Although sometimes a person's luster, or when they're very charismatic, they seem to have a very powerful, attractive potency at work. But here, he was extremely powerful, and he delivered all these Muslims and got them chanting the holy name. So it says here that Gadadhar Das is this duty, D-Y-U-T-I, duty, or luster. And he's an expansion of the potency of Srimati Radharani, Gadadhar Das. So even though he was an associate of Lord Nityananda, usually the associates of Lord Nityananda are coward boys, or tend to be. But here it says, he is not amongst the coward boys, but was situated in the transcendental mellow of conjugal love. So, Gadadhar Pandit, he had many disciples. One of them was Achyutananda. Does anybody know who Achyutananda is? Yeah, son of Advaitacharya. So he was a very prominent person. And he was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, Achyutananda. And in the last years of his life, Gadadhar Pandit lived with Lord Chaitanya Jagannath Puri, and he stayed there. Although he once tried, when I'm going to tell that story eventually, he once tried to go to Vrindavan with Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya didn't allow it. And there are reasons for it, and we'll come to that. Among his associates, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed paternal, loving affection from Paramananda Puri, friendly affection with Ramananda Roy, unalloyed service from Govinda and others, and humors of conjugal love with Gadadhar, Jagadananda, and Swarup Damodar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed all these four mellows, and thus he remained obliged to his devotees. Prabhupada writes an interesting purport about this. He says that Paramananda Puri, now these are all persons that were in the conjugal mellow in that relationship. It says Paramananda Puri is said to have been Uddhava in Vrindavan. So that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, you have all these personalities in Krishna Leela, and then in Chaitanya Leela, they're all the same personalities have appeared there as well. And so that's why this book was composed by Kavi Kanapur, the Gauranga Deshdipika, to sort of let you know who's who in Chaitanya Leela. So he was Uddhava. His affections with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were on the platform of paternal love. Interesting, huh? This was because Paramananda Puri happened to be the godbrother of the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he had a paternal relationship, almost like you could say an advisory sort of relationship. Similarly, Ramananda Rai, who is considered an incarnation of Arjuna and by some an incarnation of Ishaka Devi, enjoyed unalloyed fraternal love with the Lord. Unalloyed personal service was enjoyed by Govinda and others. In the presence of his most confidential devotees like Gadadhar Pandit, Jagadananda, and Swarup Damodar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed the ecstatic conditions of Srimati Radharani. I know this is very exalted stuff, and we may think, well, what is the relevance to us? I think it's just to hear, to become purified by hearing. That's the relevance. Sometimes we just, in fact, Prabhupada emphasized hearing a great deal. Even when he once mentioned when the Nectar of Devotion was published, he said, now we have this nice book by Rupa Goswami. He said, so don't come to me, Swamiji, what is this? What is this? What is this? He said, you go on hearing and you'll gradually understand. So I think we have to do a lot of hearing to fully understand any of this, but still it's purifying to hear it. So, absorbed in these mellows, he resided in Jagannath Puri, feeling very much obliged to his devotees. So Lord Chaitanya was so happy to be in their company, especially in the last years of his time on the earth. So then there's a story that I want to relate briefly. And the reason I have such extensive notes is my memory is pretty shot. So forgive me if I seem to be doing too much reading, but this is, I didn't want to get any of it wrong. At least one obligation of a fallen person who's, you know, trying to speak about the Chaitanya Charitamrita is that at least he shouldn't say anything that's rubbish. So, try not to say anything rubbish. That's my aim anyway. Lord Chaitanya was going to take a trip to Vrindavan, take a journey with some of his disciples and or followers to go to Vrindavan. And Gadadhar Pandit started to go with the Lord. But he was forbidden to come and was asked not to give up the vow of Kshetra Sannyas. So there's an explanation. When one takes Kshetra Sannyas, he leaves his household life and goes to a place of pilgrimage devoted to Lord Vishnu. Such places include Purushottama, Jagannath Puri, Navadvip Dham, and Mathura Dham. The Kshetra Sannyasi lives in these places alone or with his family. So this is considered, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, for instance, was a Kshetra Sannyas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur considers Kshetra Sannyas to be the preferable Vanaprastha situation in the age of Kali. And he mentions Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya living this way, a sannyasi living in Jagannath Puri. When he was requested to return to Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit told the Lord, wherever you are staying is Jagannath Puri. In other words, Gadadhar Pandit had vowed to stay and worship the deity in Puri. That was his vow. And so when Lord Chaitanya said, no, you shouldn't come on this trip. You have a duty to perform. And Gadadhar Pandit told the Lord, wherever you are staying is Jagannath Puri. Let my so-called Kshetra Sannyas go to hell. Now this sentiment of his, he's prepared to give up everything, even his most earnest vows, he's ready to give them up to be with Lord Chaitanya. He has such intense love for Lord Chaitanya. But we'll see that Lord Chaitanya didn't approve of it. So here, listen on, if you like. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Gadadhar Pandit to remain at Jagannath Puri and engage in Gopinath's service, who he's worshipping the deity of Gopinath, Gadadhar Pandit replied, one renders service to Gopinath 1,000,000 times simply by seeing your lotus feet. So he was giving his different arguments in favor of his accompanying Lord Chaitanya. Now this is a very loving exchange. And Lord Chaitanya then said, if you abandon his service, it will be my fault. Means out of affection for me, you're going to break your vow. It is better that you remain here and render service. That will be my satisfaction. So Lord Chaitanya was quite strict. No. The pundit replied, "Do not worry. All the faults will be on my head. I shall not accompany you, but shall go alone." So the plot thickens. "I shall go to see Sachimata, but I shall not go for your sake." Now, usually, Gadadhar Pandit is very, very submissive to Lord Chaitanya. Very, kind of like, was it not Satyabhama, Rukmini. A similar relationship as Rukmini had of being very submissive and very easily affected by the words of Lord Chaitanya. So this is unusual that he would speak like this. He says, I shall not go for your sake, kind of like, right? "I shall be responsible for the abandoning of my vow and service to Gopinath. Thus Gadadhar Pandit Goswami traveled alone, but when they all arrived at Katak, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him, and he went into the Lord's company. No one can understand the loving intimacy between Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit gave up his vow and service to Gopinath just as one gives up a piece of straw." He didn't care what vow he'd made. He thought it was more important. He felt so intensely about Lord Chaitanya's association and company that he was prepared to give up anything. Like the gopis of Vrindavan were prepared to give up, you know, all sense of social prestige just to gain the favor, just to, you know, be with the Lord. So just to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, Gadadhar Pandit gave up his life's vow to engage in Gopinath's service. This kind of loving affection can be understood only by very confidential devotees. So this level of attachment and love is hard to understand. I mean, we may think, oh yeah, I can understand that, yeah. No, maybe not. Ordinarily, Prabhupada writes in the purport, ordinarily no one can understand its purport. Gadadhar Pandit's behavior was very pleasing to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord took his hand and spoke to him, displaying the anger of love. So when Lord Chaitanya would display any anger towards Gadadhar Pandit, he would just immediately buckle, do whatever he said. But he says, "You have abandoned Gopinath's service and broken your vow to live in Puri. All that is now complete because you have come so far already." So you've already done what you said you were going to do, give up your service and accompany me. So that's enough, basically saying that's enough. You're wanting to go with me is simply a desire for sense gratification. Now just imagine Gadadhar Pandit is being accused of being a sense gratifier for his attachment to going to Lord Chaitanya to Vrindavan. Basically, he's being told, this is nonsense, your desire to go with me, and it's not as important as your vow that you've made. So you can imagine the sentiments or the feelings at this point of... He says, "You're wanting to go with me is simply a desire for sense gratification. In this way, you are breaking two religious principles. And because of this, I am very unhappy. If you want my happiness, please return to Nilachala. You will simply condemn me if you say any more about this matter." Now, this is heavy. Just imagine someone's madly in love with Lord Chaitanya, madly in love, intensely in love. And he's being told, if you say one more thing, you will be condemning me. If you, in other words, you continue to disagree with me, I shall be very unhappy with you. Saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got into a boat, and Gadadhar Pandit, Jai Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda, Jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got into a boat, and Gadadhar Pandit immediately fell down unconscious. Mm-hmm. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to take Gadadhar Pandit with him back to Puri. The Bhattacharya told Gadadhar Pandit, get up! Such are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should know that Lord Krishna himself violated his own promise just to keep the promise of Grandfather Bhishma. So he's pointing to a very good illustration that Krishna broke his own promise to protect the vow of Bhishma. Simply tolerating separation from you, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has protected your vow with great endeavor. Now, brings up an interesting point. If I can find this. I hate it when I do this. Ah, here it is. This brings up an interesting point. Now, why is Lord Chaitanya being so heavy with Gadadhar? I mean, is it that important? What is more important, to be fully devoted to Lord Chaitanya and follow him wherever he goes, or to follow some vow of worshiping the deity? Why was he dealt with so strictly? So there's a section in Madhya Lila, second chapter. There's an interesting verse, an interesting word anyway. And the verse is, Nirapeksha Hanya Prabhu Sigra Chalil, Kandite Kandite Acharya Paschat Kalil. So this word, Nirapeksha, it means indifferent or neutral. And on another occasion, this is when Lord Chaitanya was proceeding to Jagannath Puri after the meeting with all of his followers and Mother Sachi at the place of Advaita Acharya. And the devotees were all crying and weeping and carrying on like anything, like kind of like when Krishna left Vrindavan. And it says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unaffected. So this is another word for indifferent or neutral. So why? Anyone? Why did he appear to be unaffected by all of their unhappiness, all of their crying, all of their lamenting? Why? Go ahead. Well, they were unhappy. We know they were unhappy. But why was Lord Chaitanya unaffected?
Because he's pure consciousness. He's pure consciousness, so it doesn't affect the unhappiness of others.
Yeah, but what about Rasa? What about the feeling? The feeling. Why would he just ignore their feelings? Yes.
Because Lord Chaitanya never leaves
nothing. Well, okay, but that doesn't help them. They're still feeling the separation, Govinda. That's part of it. I would say that's part of it, yes, that he's increasing their affection. Say it again. Well, why was the worship of the vow of worshiping the deity Gopinath? He was kind of emphasizing that that was more important than going with me. Right? Yes. This is a great point, that people might use this. I'm so in love, I'll just forget all my vows. You know, this is what is sometimes described as sahajya. You know, sentimental following. I'm not sure I understand. Could you explain it more? That Krishna's service was more important than being accompanying him on the trip. Yeah, another good point. Did everyone hear that? You have to learn to, you know, boom out when you speak. Yeah, so in other words, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of a devotee who is very dutiful when it comes to the worship of the Lord, that this principle of fidelity to one's vows is more important. And that's what he was teaching when he was on this in this earth. He wasn't teaching this madness of conjugal love as he was teaching that also, but only to certain followers. So anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about this word, and there's a reason for it, because it's kind of an important point. I wanted to read this, the purport of this verse about nirapeksha, or indifference. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, the word nirapeksha means not being affected by anything material and remaining fixed in the service of the Lord. So no sentiment, just you do your duty. You make a vow, you follow that vow. This is a very important part of Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not very much care for the roaring tumult and cry at the house of Advaita Acharya. When starting for Jagannath Puri, worldly moralists may criticize Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for being very cruel. So was he being cruel to Gadadhar Pandit? But the Lord did not care for such criticism. As the world teacher of this Krishna consciousness movement, he actually showed that a person seriously engaged in Krishna consciousness should not be affected by worldly affection. The best course is to engage in rendering service to the Lord and to become callous. Callous, again, another word for indifferent. Become callous to material objectives. Externally, everyone is attached to material things, but if one becomes entangled in such things, he cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness. So sometimes, in rendering devotional service, we become a little sentimental or a little bit attached or entangled in such sentiments. But it says, Prabhupada says here, he cannot make progress then in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, those who are engaged in Krishna consciousness should not care for the so-called morality of the material world if that morality opposes the service of the Lord. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally shown, one cannot execute Krishna consciousness without being neutral. In this way, In this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya revived Gadadhar Pandit. Then both of them, very much grief-stricken, returned to Jagannath Puri, Nilachala. All the devotees would abandon all kinds of duties for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sake, yet the Lord did not like the devotees giving up their promised duties. So this was his teaching. Yes, you'd all like to just, carry on, with all this ecstatic, dealing. But I want you to do your duty. And Prabhupada also was often like that. I remember I was just thinking before I came to this class. At one point, Harikesh was the Prabhupada's servant in Vrindavan. And he would often have these strange debates. He was very argumentative with Prabhupada. At one point, Prabhupada then sent him off to Germany. And he was pleading with Prabhupada not to make him go. He wanted to stay with Prabhupada. And and Prabhupada was completely, no, you go. And he was thinking that Prabhupada was upset with him or didn't like him or something. He had all these, crazy sentiments about what was happening. But eventually, when he came back and he managed to get books published in so many languages and had done so much service and done a great deal to spread Krishna consciousness in Europe, Prabhupada greeted him and said, "You thought I was rejecting." He said, "No." He said, "He was sitting here rotting behind a typewriter and trying to cook my meals." And he wasn't even a good cook, apparently. And not a very good cook, anyway. And, he was just doing all this stuff, but Anyway, he was thinking he was rejected, but he wasn't rejected. He was just engaged in service, and the service that Prabhupada wanted to see done. So Lord Chaitanya is a little bit in that mood also. Yes. Have you still got this microphone anywhere?
The example is like Prabhupada was in the Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna had to do his duty. He had to forget his temporary relationships,
his family sentiments
that were there. Yeah. There was as sentiments, and not only that, but Prabhupada also pointed out that actually he was soft-hearted. He was a devotee.
Yeah. Yeah,
at the same time, so he was an example. He pointed out that at the same time, but Krishna said no.
And he used so many arguments. You know, Krishna would say, he would give so many perfectly legitimate arguments why he should just go to the forest and just forget the whole thing.
Yeah.
And probably, I mean, and Krishna even used the argument, "What kind of kshatriya are you then?" kind of basically saying, "Well, what sort of kshatriya are you?"
Yeah.
You have to do your duty. None of this nonsense. You're going to have to fight. So he was. You could say he was nirapeksha in his instruction to Arjuna. Yeah. Anyway, it says all the devotees would abandon all kinds of duties. They would. Means they would do it if they got the chance. Yet the Lord did not like the devotees giving up their promised duties. All these are the misgivings of loving affairs. Oh, this is an interesting summary. Whoever listens to these incidents gets the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet very soon. Haribo! So let's hope that happens. We get the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet very soon. Or some of you may have it already, I'm not. And Lord Chaitanya comments, I left Gadadhar Pandit here, and he became very unhappy. This is later when he came back. Lord Chaitanya returned to Jagannath Puri, and he says, I left Gadadhar Pandit here, and he became very unhappy. For this reason, I could not go to Vrindavan. He didn't actually make it to Vrindavan the first time. If you remember, he was advised by Rupa and Sanatan to know there's too much crowd and chaos going on. So he didn't go, but he said, but then Lord Chaitanya said, that's the reason I couldn't go to Vrindavan, because Gadadhar Pandit was so upset. Being encouraged by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words, Gadadhar Pandit became absorbed in ecstatic love. Immediately, clasping the lotus feet of the Lord, he began to speak with great humility. Gadadhar Pandit said, wherever you stay is Vrindavan, as well as the river Jamuna, the river Ganges, and all other places of pilgrimage. Although wherever you stay is Vrindavan, you will still go to Vrindavan just to instruct people. Otherwise, you will do whatever you think best. So this is a long purport, but I guess we're getting... What time am I supposed to stop? Am I supposed to stop at 8:30?
No,
8:40. Okay, well, it's a very long purport where Prabhupada talks about Lord Chaitanya, what's the importance of living in the Dham or not living in the Dham. But I think it's a little too long for this session. Here, let me... But he concludes in his purport with this statement. No ordinary human being can possibly describe Gadadhar Pandit's affectionate presentation of food or Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was tasting this food. So he was always cooking. Whenever he got the chance, he would cook for Lord Chaitanya. And apparently his cooking was pretty sublime. Well, I didn't want to skip this part. So when Lord Chaitanya had returned, and it was the rainy season. So Gadadhar Pandit said, just now, the 4 months of the rainy season have begun. You should therefore spend the next 4 months in Jagannath Puri. So he never gives up. He never gives up trying to get the shelter of Lord Chaitanya to get, to, you know, let me keep him here under some pretext. So he says, well, it's the rainy season. Really, you should stay for the next 4 months here. After remaining here for 4 months, you'll be free to do as you like. Actually, no one can stop you from going or remaining. So that was his realization in the end. No one can stop you from doing whatever you want to do. Upon hearing this statement, the devotees present at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated that Gadadhar Pandit had properly presented their desire. Yeah, we agree. You know, what were they going to say? Nah, just, you know, you can go. No, they're going to, of course they're going to agree. Being requested by all the devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to remain at Jagannath Puri for 4 months. Hearing this, King Prajaparudra became very happy. That day, Gadadhar Pandit extended an invitation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord took his lunch at his place with the other devotees. No ordinary human being can possibly describe Gadadhar Pandit's affectionate presentation of food or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tasting this food. So there's a summary of chapter 7 of Antyalila. And there's a nice exchange there between Gadadhar Pandit and Lord Chaitanya. This is a summary by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that I'm going to read first. This is in his commentary, Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. In this chapter, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with Vallabha Bhatta is described. Does anyone know who Vallabha Bhatta is? Yes. Anything? I mean, okay, you're giving the who's who. No, that's fine. I wasn't even going to mention it, but that's true. He was Shukadev Goswami, which is a pretty amazing position, considering his pastimes with Lord Chaitanya. But anyway, so his meeting with Lord Chaitanya is described in this chapter, and there was some joking behavior between these two personalities. And finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu corrected Vallabha Bhatta and sympathetically accepted an invitation from him. Before this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that Vallabha Bhatta was greatly attached to Gadadhar Pandit. So he had developed, Vallabha Bhatta had developed this very strong attachment to Gadadhar. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya acted as if he was displeased with Gadadhar Pandit. He didn't approve of it. Because he hadn't approved, initially, he had not approved of Vallabha Bhatta either, who wanted to give his explanation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he made the fatal error of saying that, actually, who at that time, Sridhar Swami, the original commentator of the Bhagavatam, was the authority for understanding the Bhagavatam. And he said, oh, I've rejected the explanations of Sridhar Swami. My commentary is better. So Lord Chaitanya immediately discerned the pride of Vallabha Bhatta. Now, they had met previously at Prayag, and he had had nice exchanges with Vallabha Bhatta. But in this case, he detected the pride of Vallabha Bhatta. So when Vallabha Bhatta offered to give him offered to explain his commentary to Lord Chaitanya about Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh well, I'm this disciple of a Mayavadi sannyasi, so I don't know much about the Bhagavatam. But I have learned from certain devotees," and he started reeling off the names of all these devotees, like Nityananda, Advaita, Haridas. You know, a whole like catalog of names. He said, "You should learn from these persons. They know so much more than me. They've taught me everything I know." So he was basically, and so he didn't really. Vallabha Bhatta was very upset because he was dying to give his explanations of the Bhagavatam, And Lord Chaitanya wasn't interested. He was kind of almost dismissed, didn't take him seriously. Prabhupada actually uses that expression, didn't take him very seriously. So, you know, when a person is very powerfully driven by false ego and pride, if you don't take them seriously, they get very upset. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of someone who's kind of overwhelmed by false pride or arrogance or even just a big ego. They cannot stand not being taken seriously. I remember years ago in Vrindavan, I was trying to explain something about Krishna consciousness to this gentleman. And he was just so argumentative. So I said, well, I can't really explain anything to you. I said, you're not serious. Now, as soon as I accused him of not being serious, he went crazy. He said, what do you mean? I'm serious. I'm serious. I said, no, you're not serious. Oh, you know, you should get someone else to talk to. And he started pursuing me all over the place, you know, demanding that I take him seriously. So it is a principle. So Vallabhabhatta was in a completely disturbed condition. So he kind of took shelter of Gadadhar Pandit, who he was very attracted to. So he wanted to explain his explanations of the Bhagavatam to somebody. So he latched onto Gadadhar Pandit and almost by force was like telling him all of his, you know, all of his realizations about the Bhagavatam. And Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, oh no, I know Lord Chaitanya doesn't like this. Oh, what am I going to do? And of course, Lord Chaitanya and even some of the followers of Lord Chaitanya were sort of like saying, well, what are you, you know, you're associating with this guy? Lord Chaitanya doesn't think much of him, you know, what are you doing? And it was out of affection, it says, but at the same time, they were disapproving. And Lord Chaitanya, externally at least, was thinking, you're associating with him? Well. So he was actually, Gadadhar was actually praying, please, Lord, protect me from this, protect me from his explanations. But finally, what happened was that Vallabhacharya realized, Lord Chaitanya is neglecting me like this because he's trying to teach me something about my false ego, that I'm artificially so proud. So he's trying to teach me. So finally, Lord Chaitanya became very kind to him and agreed to be served by him. And he also requested that he be allowed to take initiation from Gadadhar Pandit. So then Gadadhar Pandit was very disturbed because Lord Chaitanya had been sort of apparently angry with him for associating with this person. And it says here that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes desired to see Gadadhar Pandit's affectionate anger. But because of his knowledge of the Lord's opulence, his anger was never invoked. So Prabhupada gives a purport. He says, joining with Rukmini Devi in Dwarka, Krishna once advised her to accept another husband because he was unfit for her. You know, so this is a similar kind of situation. Rukmini, however, unable to understand his joking words, took them very seriously and immediately fell to the ground in fear of separation from him. Actually, in the Krishna book, it's described that he fell down like a palm tree is cut down by a whirlwind. Something like that. Cut down. I can't remember the exact words, but it's something like that. He fell like a banana tree being cut down by a whirlwind. And out of fear of separation. In the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagadananda Pandit was always in disagreement with the Lord, like Satyabhama. So the left and right wing devotees. Satyabhama just was looking for an argument all the time. And Lord Chaitanya relished that. And in this case, but Gadadhar Pandit was always awed by the Lord's opulence and was therefore submissive to the Lord under all circumstances. So a different mood. And the concluding sentence in this part of the Anchalila, no one can describe the characteristics and ecstatic love of Gadadhar Pandit. Therefore, another name for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Gadadhar Prananath, the life and soul of Gadadhar Pandit. So, thus ends my reading. and speaking. So any, I think we've got 5 minutes left, according to Govinda, who I'm accepting as the authority in these things. Yes, Vishwambar Prabhu.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. I have a question.
Good luck with the answer. Go ahead.
The personality of Gadadhar Pandit, which represent carried the mood of Srimati Radharani, and Lord Krishna also came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As I read in the early pastimes, Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Krishna, you know, gopi, gopi, gopi. But then later on, when he took sannyas, he entered into the mood of Srimati Radharani, female mood.
In the
searching,
latter years, yeah.
He also sang the song, looking for Krishna afterwards. Krishna, 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 he.
Yeah.
So he was always. Now, the relationship between Gadadhar Pandit, who was in the mood of Radharani, and the relationship towards Lord Chaitanya, who was also in the mood of Radharani. So it's like you put female and female.
No.
So how do you. do you understand what I mean?
I do, but, you know, first of all. Lord Chaitanya is also Krishna, and sometimes he's, you know, he can be in whatever mood he likes. And so when he can choose to be in the mood of Krishna or be in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Gadadhar also, you know, you could say, well, how come she was so submissive? Radharani wasn't always so submissive, right? Radharani wasn't always submissive. In fact, she used to really give, as we used to say in the early days of ISKCON, she used to give him the sauce. And, wow. So how do you explain that? Well, he wasn't just Radharani. It's funny when you say he wasn't just Radharani, and it sounds strange. But he was also Lalita Gopi, who had a different mood. And he was also Lord Hari. So how do you, when you put all that together, you know, I mean, who can understand it? But this was the relationship between Gadadhar and Lord Chaitanya, that he would often pretend to be angry, then Gadadhar Pandit would be upset, but then he couldn't make Gadadhar Pandit angry in response, so then he would be very affectionate to him. I mean, who understands these loving affairs? Very intense affection, but a little hard to fully grasp. I don't know if I'm really answering, but I think that Lord Chaitanya had a specific mood and his dealings with Gadadhar, which is a little different, perhaps, than his mood in Vrindavan. Does somebody else question? Oh, you did you raise your hand? Oh, okay. Anyone else? Yeah. Okay. Back that way. You may do anything you like.
It was just to ask. About Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He also was a Kshetra sannyas, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you explain that a bit more?
Can I explain it? Well,
yeah.
He's a renunciate who stays at home, basically.
He
stays in one place.
Yeah.
Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur did that himself. He took what we call Babaji initiation, but he stayed in Navadvipa Dham.
So he was like he took Kshetra.
So he had renounced the world, but he still had, as far as I understand, he still had some connection with his family. And but he was utterly renounced, completely absorbed in his final pastimes. He was living in Calcutta. Towards the end of his life, almost they thought he was paralyzed, but it is actually an explanation that he wasn't really paralyzed. He was just absorbed in an ecstatic mood. And actually, Bhaktisiddhanta read to him his commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhaktivinod approved of it very much. So that's a legitimate form of sannyas. It's a different sort of sannyas than we're used to hearing about. You know, our ISKCON sannyasis are supposed to renounce everything and travel and preach. So I don't know. For some reason, that it stimulates a story in my head. It's probably to have very little to do with this class. But there's a funny story. I think it's really funny. Is when the first person to take sannyas from Prabhupada was Kirtananda. And he said to Prabhupada, when Prabhupada awarded him sannyas, he said, should I renounce? Should I renounce? And Prabhupada replied, what have you got? Meaning that if you think you have something to renounce, then you don't understand. What have you got? You haven't got anything. Near mama, nothing is mine. That's the mentality of a sannyasi, nothing is mine. So if nothing is yours, what are you going to renounce? So, of course, we know what they're renouncing. They're renouncing, you know, a life of sense gratification. They're renouncing a desire for a sort of happy material life and trying to dedicate themselves to the service of the Lord. So, any other? Please pass it on. Yeah, I don't, but see, a lot of people are listening at home, apparently, and we want them to hear.
Hare Krishna. Just wondered if you could explain a bit more about the connection between Sukadev Goswami and Vallabha Bhatta, please.
Wow, that's another one. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, Sukadev Goswami as Vallabha Bhatta was apparently expressing pride and had to be sort of corrected and chastised by Lord Chaitanya. So that's unlike what we read in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? So in other words, it's these personalities appear in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, but they don't necessarily act just exactly the same way as they did in those pastimes. They're in a different mood. And Lord Chaitanya is utilizing them for his own teaching purposes. You know, so he was explaining how if one has great pride as a scholar, so much so that, you know, you actually become, you know, pride puts you into illusion about not only about yourself, but about your relationships with others. So he was pointing out that you have this pride that you actually think your pride is that you think you're better than Sridhar Swami. He explained it to him at one point. He actually used that expression. He said, your pride is that you think that your commentary is better than Sridhar Swami's. You follow Sridhar Swami, then you'll write a good commentary. Don't think that you're better than the original commentator. We are all submissive to him. You should also be. So everything in the end was squared between Vallabha Bhatta and Lord Chaitanya, and he accepted him completely as a great devotee. He was a great devotee, but somehow he was being manipulated to act in a particular way. And Lord Chaitanya helped him overcome this sense of pride. Of course, sometimes the followers of Vallabha Bhatta don't appreciate this idea much. But this was the dealings between Lord Chaitanya and Vallabha Bhatta. Okay, I think that's it. Oh, okay, yeah. Did you want to say something? Okay, he was first. Microphone.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class. We have our understanding of relationships is limited to our experience in this world. Our relation, you know, like worldly relationships and how we see things. But what we heard today, and you know, one person having multiple personalities within himself or herself, it is beyond conception.
Yeah.
So sometimes when we read these pastimes and how devotees deal with each other, we are not able to relate to these kind of dealings or exchanges because we have no experience of such things. So how do we appreciate when we are not able to appreciate what we read in these purports because we cannot relate to what's being said? How could this happen? So how do we relate to those kind of dealings?
I think that the essential point is that in relationships between these great personalities, what is the how to put it? What is the essence of those relationships? The essence is that love. There's love. So if our point is that we don't have much experience of love in this material world, or maybe we do have some experience of love or affection. So it's just like if a person is your dear friend and you trust them, very much trust them and love them, then you can overlook a great deal and you can appreciate their great qualities, their inner heart and their great qualities. So like that, I think that we can relate to it in the sense that we want to develop loving dealings. And that it can be done through the medium of service. That's how we develop feelings, by joining with others in rendering service, to not only to a project, but to each other, to serve each other and to trust and to develop a real strong bond of affection with other people. That's what it's meant to inspire. It's just like I can honestly say I don't really understand the depth of these type of exchanges. But I feel very moved by them when I read them. So in other words, we're in a covered condition. We don't know the depth of spiritual love. But by hearing about these things, we gradually, the heart is cleansed. So, and I think in terms of dealing with each other, we should try to appreciate and develop loving feelings towards other devotees. You have to pick your association. You can't love everybody, not in a conditioned state. I mean, some devotees we don't like to be around so much. That may be our deficiency, but that's just the truth. But with those that we do have good relationships with, we should try to deepen them and expand them and go deeper and deeper into a trusting, loving, affectionate mood with the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So when we hear about their dealings, then we just have to think, wow, I got a long way to go, and let me try harder to purify this heart and to be of service to others. I mean, I don't know if that's an adequate answer, but that's as much as I understand. Okay. Yes, I've gone over time now, so. All right, let's have that quick thing then.
It puzzled me. The Sukadeva Goswami, on one hand, is celebrated, as the highest authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He had an audience, Narada Muni, Lord Shiva.
Yeah.
So many great personality. On the other hand, we have Sridhar Swami, who is actually, worshipped and followed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Acharya. Srila Prabhupada adhered all his commentary. They were all based on Sridhar Swami's commentary. So I was wondering, who is this personality in Krishna's pastime, Sridhar Swami, who appears to be even superior to Sukadeva Goswami? I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, it's a question of devotional sentiment. Like, we respect our forebears, spiritual forebears. Like, as a disciple of Prabhupada, if it would be the worst sort of foolishness to think that you're in any way equal or... Just like Bhaktisiddhanta. If you read Bhaktisiddhanta's mood in relation to Gaur Kishore, Gaur Kishore was illiterate. He could barely sign his own name. And yet he had the deepest realizations and could explain anything that anybody asked him. And Bhaktisiddhanta had incredible attachment and affection and mood of utter service. He never considered himself equal to Gaur Kishore. That's the proper mood of a disciple to a senior person.
Who is in Krishna pastimes? Sridhar Swami.
I don't know that. There may be somebody else. No? I don't know. But my point is, because he was a predecessor, he's honored. He's always given the greatest honor. So Lord Chaitanya was saying, now in this time and place, he's your superior. Don't you think that you're better than him? That's not the proper mood. It's just like devotees who somehow thought because they learned some Sanskrit and had hung out with some Babaji's in Radhakund that they were somehow, they had deeper realizations than Prabhupada and left the movement. Well, what can be said? That's called jumping over. So that mood is very much discouraged in our line. So I think that he's just teaching Vallabhabhatta in that regard. Or he's teaching in that regard. I mean, Vallabhabhatta was the victim, you could say. You know, it's just like Indra. How many times is Indra the victim of various disgraces? You know, he does these outrageous stuff and gets in so much trouble again and again. Lord Chaitanya Krishna uses him again and again to illustrate different philosophical points about humility, usually about humility and the proper respect and affection. So I think, okay, that's enough. I think we've got to stop there. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.